I'm Kevin Gale, voice of the Crusaders, and this is Seder Stories, the official podcast of Holy Cross Athletics. Today, we continue our Crusader coaching profiles with the new Holy Cross football offensive coordinator, Matt Schell. For the past 2 years, Coach Schell served as tight ends coach, pass game coordinator, and recruiting coordinator. He has extensive experience from his tenures at Merrimack with Coach Dan Curran and at Pitt, where he was an ACC champion. Coach Schell, congrats on the promotion and welcome to Seder Stories.
Appreciate it, Kevin. Thank you so much. You know, beyond excited for the opportunity and the chance to kind of take this thing over and get it back on track to where we all want it to be. So happy to be here. Happy to have you on and have me on here with you, I should say, and excited to kind of go through this whole thing.
Absolutely. I know myself and a lot of Crusader football fans are excited to hear what you have in mind for this offense. But let's start with your path into this role. How did you first hear the good news?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's probably a little different than most when you look at searches and discussions with different people in terms of how it's going to work and who becomes what and who's up in the interview process. And really, you know, after, you know, the year we had, we obviously wanted to take a step forward and kind of clean up some of the things that we had to do and kind of get better in a lot of different areas. And, you know, Coach Curran kind of approached me and just said that, you know, he was going to go in a different direction and wanted to focus on things that he believed in most. And, you know, him and I have been together for quite some time. So I think I know how he wants it to look. And I felt like, you know, if I could be part of the interview process and get a chance to go against some people, you know, whether it's internal, external, I felt like I was confident enough to know what he wanted and what the vision was, and felt confident in myself that I had enough to bring to the table to kind of get this thing going. And, you know, obviously wasn't an easy situation when you have a tough season. So got asked to do it, had to go through the full interview process with the, you know, athletic department and the, you know, the ADs and everything. And, you know, I think I just shared my vision and having an insight into what needed to be fixed probably helped me a little bit. Cause I had a chance to see it from things that we could fix that I saw were wrong and feel like I could do a better job fixing. And then things that we did well that we could build off of. So I think it gave me the inside track to kind of have that opportunity. And, you know, that's kind of where it all came about. And then once it officially got offered, it was off to the races running and we've been working ever since. So beyond blessed and happy to do this.
And we're already into spring ball. The 2026 season will be here before we know it. So on a day-to-day basis, how does the OC job differ from what you were doing before?
Yeah, I think, you know, with what we were doing as a staff, you know, what you have to do is now organize your entire staff on the offensive side. And that's very different from when you're coaching the tight ends or in my case, being the recruiting coordinator where I was setting up junior days and you know, was responsible for knowing very, you know, various details about every recruit possible. You know, I got to kind of take a step back from that side of things where, you know, recruiting again is still so important, but I'm not the day-to-day guy in that and kind of switch my focus to the organization of the staff to make sure everybody's ready and understanding what we're trying to accomplish. And then the organization of the playbook and the plays. And, you know, it's a lot of work on the front end. You know, you have to do a lot of things to prepare yourself. So when spring one comes, you know, you've already walked through it with the players. You've already installed it multiple times. You've already spent time, you know, exhausting all avenues to kind of get yourself prepared to do it. So I think the front end organization is much different. It's similar, but different in a sense that you have to overlook and kind of teach everyone as a whole unit. So I think that's been the biggest change is just making sure that I spend a lot more time on the front end so that when the practices arrive, everybody's ready to go.
What's the best way to describe your unique coaching style that you want to bring to this offensive coordinator role?
Yeah. So energetic is the word I always use. There's got to be a certain level of energy that you're able to show and pulse through to your guys so that they understand exactly what's going on and how the standard needs to be. And the best way to do it is by example. And that goes with energy, that goes with technique, that goes with teaching and coaching. And so I think bringing the energy to the offensive side of the ball is going to be a necessity because these guys, there's a lot of talent on the offensive side. We got a lot of guys that can do a lot of different things for us, some new, some old. And I think, you know, when you get that belief in there and you build that energy and these guys play fast and play hard and play tough, it's hard to stop. So I think ingraining all of those things with energy is an important piece that I'm going to bring that I think, you know, I've brought for my former years and probably why, I, you know, I'm having the chance to do this job is to continue to bring it over and over again.
I'm glad you mentioned energy because a majority of D1 and pro offensive coordinators now sit up in the booth, getting that really high in the sky look. They're not connected to the sideline. You've decided, along with Coach Curran, that you want to call the plays from down on the field. Why is that important to you?
Yeah, I think just the way you said it was kind of exactly how everybody thinks of it, right? The offensive coordinator, you pan to him on Sunday, unless he's the head coach, he's up in the booth, and it gives him a chance to see certain things and make adjustments and kind of trust his eyes. For me, I think the biggest thing that we got to do is, you got to lead from the front lines. And I think when the players see you out there with them side by side, when they're on the sidelines and when they're out there looking to you as you give the play calls, there's a sense of togetherness that gets brought up from it. And I think, we trust a lot of the guys on our staff. We have a lot of good coaches that are very, very intelligent. And, for me to trust them up top and them to see a lot of different things is something that's probably hard to do everywhere. But here we have a lot of great coaches that are so invested and we're so together as one that I think, I can continue to use my energy that I bring day to day on game day. And, like I always say, I'm probably gonna have a harder time, bringing it back down than I am bringing it up, to say the least, because I'm just, that's how I am 24/7. So, fortunate that Coach Curran had that same vision and kind of, pushed me into that role as well. And I'm excited to do it and excited to kind of get these guys going, on the front lines.
Offense is so innovative now in the game of football. It's a real thinking man's game. What kind of potential innovation do you see for the Holy Cross offense going into 2026?
Yeah, I think without giving away too much here, we have a lot of different pieces that bring something to the table. So I think the biggest things that you're going to see are changes with personnel and displacement, and having different players that are normally aligned in certain areas aligned elsewhere. I think it brings a certain level of discomfort to defenses. When you send a personnel grouping out there and you don't know what the formation's going to be. And I think we have the personnel this year where guys have a lot of different talents other than just being a wide receiver or just being a running back or just being a tight end. We have guys that can do many different things. So we're going to use them with everything they can do. And that's kind of how we've started to shift this offense and started to take it and live by the building blocks of what we believe in, but also kind of make it discomforting for a defense where they're going to have to limit their play calls, knowing that we could be in many different formations, many different sets, and they can't predict it ahead of time. So I think that's going to be something that's very different from what we've done. But that's only, we can only do that if our guys rise to the occasion and learn at a certain level. And we're going to do whatever it takes to get our best guys in the best positions possible. And it's not about overcomplicating. It's about taking those things that you teach them, learning at the simplistic level and being a good teacher. And then when they have the opportunity to kind of make that jump and make that next step, they're ready to go because it's been taught to them from the base blocks. So if you can get all that together with the discomfort of a defense, I think it gives you the best chance to be successful at a high level.
Make the defense uncomfortable. I like that. Let's take a short break. When we get back, we'll talk with Matt Schell about his path to Holy Cross right here on Seder Stories.
Leadership and excellence, in competition, in the classroom, in the community. For decades, Crusader Athletics has focused on our topmost commitment, elevating every student athlete, to reach for more, to grow more, to achieve more. Help us to continue to strengthen minds, build character, and celebrate together as one Crusader Nation. Because when we commit together, we win together. Join us, Crusaders Together.
For the third time in 4 years, the Holy Cross women's basketball team is Patriot League champions. Tune in to ESPN2 on Friday, March 20th at 5:30 Eastern Time to see the 15-seed Crusaders take on the 2-seed Michigan in Ann Arbor. Cheer on your Crusaders and secure your championship gear now by visiting GoHolyCross.com. Welcome back to Seder Stories, the official podcast of Holy Cross Athletics. I'm Kevin Gale, voice of the Crusaders. Glad to be joined by the new offensive coordinator for Holy Cross football, Matt Schell. Okay, Coach, you're a Massachusetts native. You grew up in Freetown. When did you first know that football would be your lifelong career path?
Yeah, I think when you play the sport growing up for years and years, and I played quarterback growing up, and you fall in love with it, your thought is always, how do I continue to do this forever? Funny enough for me, I say that, but in college I had the opportunity to potentially go to some schools at Division III level and play quarterback there, I call him my uncle. He's a family friend, relative in that sense. He was the video director for the Patriots. So, he reached out as I finished my last year of football about working there as an intern, during my off time in school. So whether that was fall in the weekend on the weekends or spring when we had free time or the winter breaks, he wanted me to be there with him. And that was my decision to kind of do that, which seems obvious, but you have to give up playing football. And so I kind of made the sacrifice to not play football in college. At the D3 level, I had the opportunity to do so and stay there and work with him. And so I kind of made that sacrifice, knowing in long term I wanted to work in football. What I wanted to do, I could definitely tell you that I had no idea when I started working as an intern there. I think I wanted to be a scout at the time and evaluate players and all that, and slowly learned over the time of my internship that being as close to the players and being close to the scheme and the development was a no-brainer for me. So, fortunately had the opportunity when I finished school, was trying to continue to get a full-time job with the Patriots. There wasn't one available yet, but I reached out to the guys at UMass where I went to school, as an undergrad, and tried to see if I could get on there and kind of get my career started. And in doing so, kind of made that transition from an intern with the Pats to a graduate assistant on the defensive side of the ball at UMass. And I think that jump alone was great for me. It was a great chance to get into coaching, and was my first look at the other side of the ball more in depth than I ever believed in. When you're in high school, a lot of guys can attest to this. You're taught, very simple things, and it's not, there wasn't a lot of depth to it. And then you get to college, and a lot of guys learn when they play. I learned more through my grad assistant year, when I started to learn defensive play at a completely different level. And I think that helped me long term as well, and kind of set me up for the future. So I think those two things from the get-go were kind of my jump start into the career, and then fell in love with the coaching aspect, and teaching players and seeing guys succeed. Seeing a guy who didn't know how to do certain techniques all of a sudden become a master of a technique, and a lot of it had to do with your instruction. I fell in love with it. You fall in love with it so fast, and I always say, if I could have done it at an elite level, I would have continued to do it. But I get to see a guy who's much more talented than I ever was do it at a higher level than I could ever do it. It just means something so much more. So I think that's how I started to fall in love, and Coach Whipple taking me on as my first job, when really I was kind of just a nobody in a sense, except for just a student that attended UMass, was a big testament to him. And he did a lot for my career all the way through, which I know we're going to go into that in a little bit as well. And I appreciate him, immensely for that.
That's great. And you took that experience and ran to the ACC. You had a great season in 2021 with Pitt. Pat Narduzzi, one of my favorite college football coaches. I got to work with him when he was the defensive coordinator at Michigan State. You helped him develop one of the best offenses in program history, won an ACC title. How valuable was that time in Pittsburgh in framing who you would be as a coach?
I mean, it completely changed my entire view of football, and the extra time that I spent in the quarterback room really opened my mind to a different level of offensive play. Coach Whipple, when we left UMass in 2018, he was let go. I took a job at Arkansas State as a graduate assistant. In 21, he had a assistant QB offensive quality control job open. And I tried to get on there as fast as I could, knowing him and his ability to score at will. And Coach Narduzzi's a notorious defense for his entirety. He's always had a great defense. It just felt like a great matchup. And Coach brought me on, and Coach Whipple brought me on with Coach Narduzzi's blessing. Had to interview, had to go through the whole process, and I learned a ton there. Coach Whip, when you're with him, you got to spend time and sit there and kind of pick his brain because he has so much information from years and years of football experience that the only way that you can kind of dig into it is if you sit there and ask him questions and kind of go into depth with him on certain things because for him, he's been doing it so long, he's got so much knowledge. And so, that brought a different level of the style of play to what I firmly believe in, which is finding explosive plays as many ways as possible, which is what Coach Whip is a firm believer of. And whether that's taking the top off and throwing a deep ball or finding a seam in the run game and kind of getting your best players the ball in space, I think he kind of does that better than anybody. And that's something that I'm looking forward to bringing along with us here and continue to do is to kind of get the best guys the ball. And I know it sounds easy, but you can't just call the same plays over and over again. And have the defense adjust and take things away. And he taught me that. And so, blessing to him that he's been able to do that. And then Coach Narduzzi, I think the energy piece that I believe in comes really from him because I mean, he has his guys playing so hard. There's not many people in all of the game of football that can get all of their players to play at that high of a level for that long like he can. And it starts with the defense. He's a defensive guy. And those guys buy into the strain and the grind that he kind of puts, he puts out there into the atmosphere for his philosophy. And I think when you put on the tape, you see it no matter where he's ever been. And his energy piece is, for that guy, he's been there. I think you said 11 years. You knew better than I did at that point. He's been there for a while. And I mean, there's a reason he's still there. Those guys play so hard. So learned a lot about, the structure of football and the way he carries himself and kind of has the culture of the team framework. And the energy piece, I think really, you saw it from him at one of the highest levels do it. And obviously led to an unreal season. Heisman finalist Kenny Pickett, Biletnikoff, Witter, Jordan Addison. There was, very fortunate that I think it was somewhere around 18 to 20 of our guys in the starting lineup on offense and defense were NFL players. So it always helps when you have great talent. So that was, you learned that one too early that as good of a coach as you are, if you don't have players, it means nothing.
So you're coming off the mountaintop in the ACC at the FBS level, great success. And then you connect with Dan Curran. What was it like to join up at Merrimack and start to do things the way that Dan Curran did?
So right after finished at Pitt, I reached out to Coach Curran for a lot of different reasons. One, I wanted to get my own room. When you're a young coach and you spend a lot of time kind of, on the back end of things where people don't really see you, you can hide. And I didn't want to hide anymore. I wanted to be out there in front and kind of have the opportunity to coach my own group and kind of own that. And the crazy enough, it was somewhere on Twitter. I saw that a coach was leaving Merrimack, and I knew it was closer to home. And I had, at that time, it was, COVID 2 years prior at Arkansas. I'd barely seen my family, so there was no better situation than to try and get on a staff and kind of have my own opportunity to do it. And in doing so, reaching out to Coach Curran, it ended up being beyond a blessing because I got to meet one of the guys who's one of the best culture builders in all of football. That's what really makes him special is he gets a large group of people to buy in and play it at one of the highest levels at the highest intensity at all times. And, that carries into our spring ball now, and I won't jump all over, but we had our first spring practice and the intensity level. I mean, no one's ever seen it like that. We're in a helmets practice and the guys are flying around like never before. So I think going there and being able to work for Coach Curran, beyond a blessing. And, I say this a bunch, there's no place like coaching around your home state or hometown. When you get to do that, it just means a little more. And I think that's something I saw with how many guys we have local on staff too. You just see a bunch of guys that want to do even more to get themselves, prepared to get these guys ready because you're doing it for your home family, your state. It's just deeper than just a coaching job. And I think that's something that Coach Curran brings here as well, is just making this bigger than just a job that we coach at and want to have success. This is about bringing families together and bringing guys together that care more about this place than anywhere else in the country. And I think, when you look at that, what Coach Curran's been able to do at Merrimack and our time now here at Holy Cross, and you walk in and you can tell those players are ready to go at all times.
Let's take one last break. When we return, we'll look ahead to the 2026 season with Holy Cross offensive coordinator Matt Schell right here on Seder Stories.
Leadership and excellence in competition, in the classroom, in the community. For decades, Crusader Athletics has focused on our topmost commitment, elevating every student athlete, to reach for more, to grow more, to achieve more. Help us to continue to strengthen minds, build character, and celebrate together as one Crusader Nation. Because when we commit together, we win together. Join us, Crusaders Together.
Crusader fans, you can place your deposit on 2026 Holy Cross football season tickets right now. Don't miss a second of the action during the Crusaders' 6 home games at Fitton Field this fall. For more info or to place your deposit, visit goholycross.com/FBTIX or you can call 1-844-GO-CROSS. I'm Kevin Gale, voice of the Crusaders. And this is Seder Stories, the official podcast of Holy Cross Athletics. I'm joined by the new Holy Cross football offensive coordinator, Matt Schell. Okay, coach, it's time to look ahead. Let's get the vision of the offense for 2026. What are the areas that you're really looking to take to the next level? And what are some of the strengths you're seeing right now in spring ball that you feel you can build around for more Patriot League success?
Yeah, I think, I think to kind of hone in on a few things, I think the first thing that we kind of talked about as an entire unit is finding that identity. When you get yourself in a scenario where you don't have a successful season, a lot of times you look around trying to either figure out what you could do better or you start to point the finger. And I think our job as coaches is to spin that whole narrative and focus on accountability. And that's self-accountability as a player or self-accountability as a coaching staff member. And I think that's something that we've been trying to drill into these guys' heads is, you make a mistake, the first thing you do can't be to look around and point and say, well, they did this, and you have to own it. And I think that applies to coaches as well. And you look back on the season we had last year and there's plenty enough talent to be a better season and finish a lot of games and get a lot of things done that we want to get done. And we just didn't do it. And I think you look at yourself and say, what can I do to take that step and bring these guys in the right direction? So accountability is a two-way street for everybody. And I think we've been preaching that for the day of time. We have a firm belief in the offense. Be great is what we say. Gritty, relentless, energetic, accountable, and tough. And for you to be all those things, accountable is right in the middle of there. There's a lot of things that you can control, and accountability is one of them. If you can look in the mirror and say, I need to get better, then get better. And there's ways to do it. And we're here to teach you and fix you on your different techniques. So I think the accountability piece is going to be taken to a new level. And, in terms of the offense itself and what we're looking to do, we're looking at, again, to get the best players the football. You have to find a way to get the best guys the ball. And I think we have enough special pieces in different areas. We have a group of running backs that are super talented, a receiver group that's probably deeper than it's ever been with we have 3 guys over 6'2 on the outside and some slot receivers that have a lot of speed. And our tight ends, we have 2 huge tight ends that are gigantic and one that's one of the most athletic in the conference. So that for the skill alone, there's the pieces are there and it's about getting the most out of those pieces. And when that comes with scheme or determination and kind of getting that drive and belief with the guys, I think that all kind of goes hand in hand. So I think, for us, when you turn on the tape and you watch us next year, and obviously we're focused on spring ball one day at a time, but when you turn it on next year, I hope there's a dynamic feel with a lot of guys that are bought in, that are looking to make this thing better and know that it needs to get better as fast as possible. In order to do that, It takes a lot of time and a lot of work to work through some kinks and some different things that you thought we had correct, but I guess we didn't, and you have to spin that a certain way. So to keep it broad, the goal is to get the best players the ball. And I think throughout spring, bringing in some transfers and having guys that were freshmen that are now sophomores or first year starters that are now second year starters, there's a level of competition there that didn't exist. For some time, there was a lot of next guy up mentality. And I think now that we have some young guys that kind of took bigger roles, guys are starting to learn that my job is not secure. My job is only secure with my play. So I think the guys that we have that were younger that are now taking over those roles as second year starters or potential second year starters are going to play at a faster speed. And then, jump into the upfront guys. I think this old line group. We have a ton of young guys that are pushing some of those older guys who are playing at an elite level right now in the first few days of spring ball. So I think we have, probably at least eight guys that I feel could play in the game on the offensive line that are powerful, athletic, smart. And I think when you have all those things and you're tough, you have a chance to do a lot of different things. So don't be shocked if you see a couple extra O linemen in there or, a guy flipping in and out with a tackle and or a guard or a center. I think there's going to be a lot of different groupings. But, our job is to find the best grouping. And so whatever that grouping is, the guys will kind of do that themselves and it'll work itself out naturally throughout spring ball. But, the biggest goal is to win no matter what that looks like. So whether that's, playing a game where we have to grind it out and win and run the ball or, we have to take the top off because the safeties are playing low and we got to get some explosives. We have to be multiple. We have to be dynamic in every facet of the game. And I think that's the goal when it's all said and done is to turn it on and say, wow, they really were able to do this because the defense gave them this. And we're going to find ways to dictate it, but you got to adjust week to week to make sure you win every game, whatever way it takes to win the game. Because when it comes down to it, no matter how many yards we have or how many touchdowns we have, if you don't win, it means nothing. So we got to win the game, and that changes week to week. And the goal is to do whatever it takes, and that works hand in hand with myself, Coach Kern, and the defensive coordinator all working in the same direction, as well as the special teams coordinator, to make sure we're all in line. So, I know that's a little broad, but I'm going to leave that up to the imagination of the guys getting the ball in space and kind of making those big plays. And, who it will be determined by the end of spring, who's kind of earned all those roles.
I'm glad you mentioned the big guys up front because nothing goes without the offensive line. And we've seen great offensive line play here the last few years, great development among future pros. And you've got a new offensive line coach in Joe Kreinsen. How's your working relationship been? And how are you building an identity for this offense together here in the early weeks of spring ball?
Yeah, so Coach K, he goes by with the players. He's one of the best to do it. We actually were graduate assistants together at UMass, which was my first job. It was his second year of his first job there. And him and I kind of learned from the same system at an early age. And then him and I have very similar beliefs in terms of the energy, the accountability, and the grind to it all. We've grinded together when we were younger. He made a big jump in his career. He went from Pitt as a graduate assistant to an offensive coordinator at the D2 level, and really took that risk to kind of test himself and push him past his limits. So him and I think very similarly in a sense of doing whatever we can do to get our guys to the next level. But up front, you got to have somebody you trust, and I know that he's able to develop guys. He's done it for years. At after we left Merrimack, he took over as the offensive line coach there, and the rushing yard numbers are incredible. And he got a group of guys after losing all five of his starting O linemen after his first year. They all ended up transferring up to a higher level. He was still able to have a ton of success in the run game there with a whole new group, and that's just a testament to him and how much the kids believe in him and how good of a teacher he really is. So. Beyond fortunate to have him here. You're going to see a more physical, tougher group that's more mentally and physically tough because he is their coach. And when they kind of get taught and they learn through him, you learn that it's all about physicality and playing fast and playing discipline. So, you're going to see all those things on tape solely because he's the offensive line coach, and he's going to instill that in all the players.
As the former tight ends coach moving into an offensive coordinator role, are the big tight ends from your old room saying, "Hey, coach, maybe get us the ball a little bit more this season?" Do they feel like they have one of their own in their corner to be more offensively explosive this year?
Oh, it's great. They as soon as it happened, the first thing a lot of those guys started to do was smile, big smile in the corner when we were talking about it. And the first thing I said was when I looked at them, I looked at them all in the room and I said, just because I'm the offensive coordinator doesn't mean you're gonna get the ball all the time. Like that's not how it works. It's you gotta earn that every day. And that does mean that we're gonna have some things for those guys, and ways to kind of pop them open and you know, get the guys that earn it to get the chance to have the rock. But you know, the culture in the tight end room is you don't get the rock unless you're blocking your tail off every single snap. And that's instilled in those dudes. And as soon as you start thinking about trying to get the ball and being having a selfish mindset, that's when you start to have a lack of success in the run game. So they know this. If you're gonna run the ball well and block well, you'll be rewarded. But you're not rewarded just because I'm coaching you. It's because you earned it. So that's part of the first thing that I said in my first position meeting as the offensive coordinator here and tight ends coach.
Lastly, Coach, I want to wrap it up with this. In your role as recruiting coordinator, you brought in 15 transfers this spring, so lots of new talent coming into the program. When you talk with players about why Holy Cross is such a great football destination, what do you tell them?
You know what's funny is we joked kind of. I'm going to touch on the 15 transfers real quick, and then I'll get to that as well in terms of what we tell them. But we joked that transfer portal recruiting is kind of like speed dating, where you know you bring them on a visit, and within a day you have to make a decision, and you have to move on to the next guy. But actually, ironically for us, it wasn't. A lot of the guys that we brought in and signed, there was a pre-existing relationship in some way, shape, or form, with the player or with a coach that coached the player. And it kind of made it easy in a sense that we knew more about the guys that we brought in than probably the traditional school that brings in transfer portal recruits every year. But you know, you still have to recruit and you still have to tell them why this is the best place. And fortunately for us, you know, we're at an institution that just an unbelievable facility. So when the guys walk in and they come from schools like Pitt, UConn, Boston College, Kentucky, that they're not disappointed in what they see. They're actually excited that we have a large indoor and they have access to it at all times. And our facilities are phenomenal. So that's the first piece that I think that you can't tell somebody, they have to see it. And when you show them that, it's a big selling point for what we have here. But you know, bringing up the 90-wide mentorship group and the group that we have here on top of the academics that we have that are phenomenal here, the 90-wide mentorship group is second to none in all of football. Those guys are so invested into our players day to day, whether it's their you know knowledge about their life or their football or their academics or their internships. I mean, these guys are involved in an every day of their mentees' lives and. There's nothing like it. It's to the point that, you know, you look around and you wonder how some of these guys are able to be so successful and be so involved in our players' lives. And it's because they love it and they love the program. And I think, you know, that's less of a selling point for kids. It's more of a learning, an experience for them learning how involved these guys are. We don't have to sell anything here. There's nothing that we're lying or recruiting to kids and selling. They come see it. They have a chance to meet with, you know, meet with the 90-wide group and kind of understand what they bring to the table. And then you meet Coach Curran and he goes through his entire culture piece. So it's less selling from our end because we have so many good things here at Holy Cross. And it's more of just educating people of what we have. And once you educate them and they're able to take a step back and look and say, wow, why would I not go here? That's kind of where you're able to kind of get the bridge between whether it's a transfer or high school recruit to understand what exactly we have and the level we have at. Because we can get guys to play at, you know, at the NFL level here. It's happened for a few years in the past. We have the ability to get guys a great degree and a great job. And you know, depending on the kid's situation and what he sees for his path, we obviously don't have a grad school here, so you do your 4 years and do a great job there, and then you know, set you up with your last year of eligibility in a master's program that's going to take care of you for life as well. And you know, we did that recently with you know, John Owens comes right to mind for me is you know, a guy who wasn't even a long snapper when he got here, worked his tail off, had the opportunity to start here his last year. And now with, you know, with the ability to go get a master's at Boston College and have a chance to start as the long snapper there, he's going to have to compete, but have that opportunity is a blessing in disguise for him, because he never would have had that chance had he not come to Holy Cross. So, you know, we have a lot here. We have a ton here. We have a lot of support, and some beautiful facilities. And the biggest thing we always say is get up to campus. Because once you get up to campus, you really understand, what exactly we have and what we can do to kind of to bring the best out of each and individual player.
Matt Schell, your energy is contagious. It is great to hear your vision for the future. Congrats again on the promotion. I know I speak for a lot of people when I say we can't wait to see what your offense looks like at Fitton Field this fall. Thank you again.
Appreciate it, Kevin. Thank you so much. And you know, biggest thing I always say is, you know, trust the process and let's get this thing rolling. Day by day, we're gonna figure it out. And you know, blessing to be here and excited to do this for another successful season.
We're excited to see it. Best of luck all spring. And my thanks to everyone for tuning in. We'll be back soon with another episode of Seder Stories. Until then, we ask that you tell your fellow Crusaders about Seder Stories, available anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and SoundCloud. That's it for now. I'm Kevin Gale. Go Cross Go.